Welcome back. Here's a quick question. When was the last time you wrote a letter?
Like hand wrote a letter.
A letter.
Not even typed or anything.
No, you could type it, but like a letter to be mailed. Not something digitally. Not an email.
Man, it would maybe be something legal, but never anything personal. It's been a long, I can't even remember that.
Do you remember in English class, like spending time learning like this is right indented and this is left indented and here's the greeting and here's the sincerely and all this stuff?
Definitely. Mm-hmm.
What useless skills.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that the other day because I saw somebody post, oh, you had to learn a lot of things about how to do math in your head because you wouldn't have a calculator with you all the time. That's not true. We have a calculator with us all the time now.
You ever use PhotoMath?
I don't know what it is.
Oh, PhotoMath.
Are you good at math?
I'm decent with numbers, yeah.
With your kids, have you? Is there math homework? Like, who's the math person in your house?
Well, right now, my wife is everything because she is a teacher and she just kind of handles homework.
Just because you're a teacher doesn't mean that you're an expert in all subjects.
No, but they're still at the age where she can kind of do everything with them.
When math gets complicated, what are you going to do?
They'll probably come to me. Not that she's bad at it.
What's the highest level math you think that you can assist with without having to go relearn yourself? And pray to God that they're teaching it the same way that you remember learning it. Otherwise, you got to start.
Yeah, I'm decent with practical math. It was once it got into theoretical, like calculus and pre-calculus is when I started to have trouble. I had fine time with geometry.
How far did you go?
I think I got to pre-calc and then I was like, I like practical math a lot. I really like poles and numbers and stuff like that. But
numbers aren't math.
But they are numeric and I like that stuff.
So you like numbers?
Yeah, I do.
Get you a puzzle.
All the real estate stuff. You got to do math all the time. I enjoy it, but I like real math, not theoretical math. So I would cap out at pre-calculus because that's where I did.
I feel like if they're an engineer who builds bridges right now listening, you probably think they use theoretical math.
No. They use geometry. And I like that.
Lots of things.
I really did enjoy that because it was real. It was in the real world.
So what is theoretical to you?
Well, calculus gets into you're answering questions that are based on questions that I'm like, this. How does this apply to anything, though?
PhotoMath is an app on your phone. You take a picture of the problem, and then it walks you step by step through how to solve it.
That's cool.
It's really cool. And my son took algebra last year as an eighth grader, and there were times where he wasn't sure how to do a problem, and My husband has taught grade school math, like through eighth grade math. And I think he did some algebra as an educator, but it wasn't his subject that he was like, he likes history. That's what he teaches now. So he's familiar with it, but I leave it to him because I don't have the patience for it. I could do it if I had to do it, but I don't really have the patience to learn, and I don't want my lack of patience to rub off. My kids need to think I'm super excited about math and their homework, and that's not true. They're in school right now, so it's okay. But you know, the skills, isn't it really funny as an adult when you're in the middle of doing something that is an adult thing and you use a math skill? Like, oh, I just had to find the other side of that triangle. And you're like, I remember how to do the Pythagorean theorem.
Oh, man, I'd be hard-pressed to go back and do that. I haven't used that.
You could figure it out.
Could I?
I think so.
Well, I got a phone. I could probably look it up.
You just do PhotoMath.
Yeah.
You just got to figure out how to write the problem and take a picture of it. There's so many skills that our generation specifically, the elder millennial generation, we grew up the way our parents grew up. We came of age in the old way of doing basically everything, which is delineated by computers and processing and the rapid exponential growth that of opportunity that was opened up by computing. But we were also young enough. Most of us probably got the internet sometime in junior high, high school, like just access to it either in our home for the first time or at school, like maybe it could send an email. I remember logging onto the internet and like finally getting that thing to connect, and then you're like in, and then you're like, now what?
Mm-hmm.
And there was nothing. It's
what
like,
do I
what
do?
Do you do? You build a website.
You create an email, which was really fun because it was like speaking code language.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember so many of my friends would be like, what's your email address? Mine is cooljoe96.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
I feel like Instant Messenger could still exist. I think that I would still have fun on my computer right now if I had Windows open with all of my friends and we just sent each other. I mean, that's what texting is, I suppose. But I kind of still would nostalgically appreciate Instant Messenger existing when I log on to the computers. I mean, I guess it still is real, but I'd really like to hear the ling. And then there's my friend.
It's nostalgic. It's super nostalgic. You know, that is where I really, my wife and I's relationship really took off, was on Instant Messenger.
Did you meet each other in
We had met
person,
each other, yeah.
But you could talk more.
We were long distance.
Frequently.
She was in Columbia, Missouri. I was here. And so we would see each other somewhat frequently, but when just during the week, that's how we would talk.
You met each other at a rave.
Mm-hmm. I was super high.
That's not true. That's, you took it too far. Where did you... You met at a party.
Yeah, we were just messing around with glow sticks. I wasn't high. But we...
It was VBS.
We did meet at a... I guess it was technically a party. It was... Everything was a party when you're in college and somebody's having people over.
Yeah.
Everything's a party.
It's not a gathering.
Yeah.
But we would
treat it that way. We would play Monopoly. That is not that far from what we actually did. And I met her at a group... You know, a house party there where we had mutual friends, and we didn't really hit it off very well. I was actually more interested in her friend. And that she knows this. Don't worry.
She better. Oh, man.
And then within about 8 to 9 months later, I saw her at another one of those parties with that same friend and was like, oh, I'm actually more interested in this girl. And then I stayed interested in that girl. And then we instant messaged each other, and my name was FriendPal 2000.
Was what? Friend Pal?
I pretended to be a robot that you could ask any question you wanted, and it was Friend Pal 2000. That was my moniker.
That is so Ryan Wiggins.
Yeah, it is.
How long did it take for her to be interested in you? Has she come around yet?
She's getting there. She really wanted a family, and I was like, I'll provide for you. She's like, okay, I guess so. we talk about it. It's very interesting because... there is something about, we both referred to it as God just turned on a light switch, because we had met, we had been at events together, we had talked a little bit, no interest, and then all of a sudden, boom, both of us. And we don't know why.
God.
We really do think that it was like God was said, okay, now you're interested in each other, and it was at the same time.
Did you text each other? At all? Was texting even a thing? I didn't text. Like, I specifically remember texting costing 10 cents a text. Mm-hmm. And it was like, you just didn't do it. It was rude. It was like an imposition to tell somebody that, like, my words to you are worth 10 cents of your money. Kids these days have no idea.
With that in mind, I would have been texting people more.
Just like 10 cents. That's what you said.
Cost you.
10
cost
cents.
You.
Ching, ching.
I don't think we texted a lot because I had a flip phone until 2014.
So you had to do the...
It was the press the button
ABC.
Three times. Yeah, I remember doing that. It didn't seem that long ago.
You ever see those things on Facebook where they show like the code? Like if you can read this, you're officially old, and it's like... 222 and then 551.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then you've got to figure out what it would... What's that called? T9 texting?
I know what you're for. I don't know the name of it.
Why do I know that?
Yeah, why do you know that?
I'm not
sure whether that's impressive or unimpressive.
Google T9 texting, and I opened the window ahead of open currently, which is the No Scrubs lyrics, and I'm just going to leave that there.
I'm going to Google T1000...
T9 texting is a predictive text input that allows users to type words by pressing a single key for each letter on a numeric keypad.
T-1000 is a fictional character in the Terminator franchise, debuting as the antagonist in the 1991 film Terminator 2.
This is the best 2. Radio we've done. We're just Googling things that might be real. I'm just thinking about like so much of the technology that my kids are growing up with, and I'm trying to think of what... we grew up with that our parents didn't grow up with, and they had to adjust when they parented us in with the same gravity that we've had to adjust. Because should my kids know how to write a formal letter? Probably.
I don't know.
But you said it when at first, like the only time you have to do that is when there's legal correspondence and you don't want that.
And even that is the legal system has caught up to faxing. I'm not sure about past that, but sometimes they'll allow you to send in pictures of your documents now. COVID changed some of that. But up until 2020, it was like, well, you could fax it in.
Whenever they say, like, submit a document, I always take pictures of it, and I try to make it look like it's, like, a scanned version so much because I feel like I'm going to get in trouble
if they
find out that I took a picture of it and
sent
it in.
That's just a picture on your kitchen table. I can see the grain work.
Yeah, no, I'm, like, zooming in and cropping right. and making the contrast super high so the black is red, but taking out the saturation so that it's black and white. Let all of my secrets out.
Have you ever been hit by this one? I was applying for a mortgage not too long ago, and I got hit because the mortgage company said, I can't see all four corners of your paper. Like, really? That's a thing?
Didn't you get the corners?
Well, I tried, like you, to zoom in to give
the... So just make it a rectangle.
Just, yeah, make it look like there was no form.
They wanted to see
that
it was a real paper.
Yes.
So they wanted to see a little of the table.
Yes.
Oh, no, I've been doing it wrong.
I know. I was shocked and a little bit offended by that. You don't appreciate how much time I put into that picture.
Could you write a formal letter?
I don't think I could write it with all the correct format and everything like that, but...
Don't you feel like the people who you'd be writing them to, like, if you even attempted to be close, they'd be like, oh, this is nice.
Mm-hmm.
Man. Mr. and Mrs. Johnson, your dog has been pooping in my garden. Sincerely, Brad.
To whom
is that a thank you or a no thank you?
I'm not sure.
Fertilizer.
Yeah.
Free.
Up to the receiver.
What else do you feel like we had to do growing up? I mean, talking on a phone in the area of, well, first of all, talking on the phone. Nobody mm-hmm. talks on the phone anymore. I avoid verbal conversations on phones like my life depends on it. Why?
Okay. There is a group of people, though, in the United States who just love talking on the phone. And I pass them
who
in the grocery
they?
Store.
All
I don't know.
Around all of them
but
in the doctor's office.
They're wherever. And they're not a lot of them.
Are they of a particular age?
Clearly, they're not. They're of any age. Although I would say they do skew older now that I'm thinking about it. That's I don't see younger people doing this as much. But some I do. And the thing that always shocks me is not that there's somebody in public talking on the phone. That I see. It's that there's somebody on the other end of that phone call also talking somewhere, and it is boring conversation. Like, it is not interesting, and it's not just, hey, should I pick up Rice-A-Roni, what brand? That stuff I get.
Because my husband and I will talk, and we will actually, more often than not, if he's in the store, he does the shopping, FaceTime so that I can help him shop. Maybe that's probably obnoxious.
No, this will be conversations like, no, did you hear that her daughter's graduating? Yeah, I can't believe it either. It's like, she's so old. And it's just, there's nothing wrong with the conversation, but it's just amazing to me
that's happening.
Still happening. And these conversations, sometimes you pass them a few times in a store, or they go on for a long time.
I have to physically and mentally prepare to have a verbal phone conversation with people. I used to talk, like, growing up, you could ask my parents. I remember when we got call waiting, which was fantastic because I would talk on the phone with my friends for hours and my sister would talk on the phone as well. So you'd have to fight over, you know, whether you answered call waiting, like, oh, I didn't get a beep. Like a beep. Okay.
Oh, but there's another one. Making a voicemail message was like the greatest thing in the world.
I, on my voicemail on my cell phone, say, sorry, I couldn't get to the phone. Send me a text. I'll get right back to you. That's pretty much what it is. And I remember I was one of the, I don't know that I didn't hear that from anyone. It's 2024. I know there's going to be a beep. When the beep happens, I don't start to panic. I don't just look around and look for help and assistance and what to do. I called you. You didn't answer. And then you said some words to me. And then there was a beep and you didn't tell me what to do now. What the heck am I supposed to do? Like, we know what to do after the beep. You don't need to tell us.
Brad, that right there is today's video.
Oh, am I right?
And people can use it as their voicemail message.
You know what to do. Text me. And then beep.
You know what I'm talking about.
It's laborious when you get a voicemail.
And I used to do the longest ones just for that reason.
Oh my gosh. I would just not talk to you.
Yeah, and that's okay. But go ahead.
I was going to say, it is laborious, but iPhone, and I don't know if Android has done this or not, but it transcribes all my voice messages.
It can, if you want to.
I don't remember what it was, but for the longest time, for probably 2 or 3 years, I had one that was just the Family Feud theme song playing for almost a full minute. And at the very end of it,
sing
it was
the
like...
Family Feud song. If you don't like mine, you can use his.
Yep, there that
there, use that one.
Hated the hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
Oh, the trick one.
Oh, it's the worst.
Seems right up your alley.
No, because it was too obvious of a joke, Annie. I wasn't going to do that. Somebody else had already done it. That is an art form that needs to come back.
The obvious joke?
No, not the obvious joke. The just voicemail message.
Ones that make you want to listen to the end and hear the beep.
Yeah, yes. Because people don't call each other much.
You go first.
When you do, now I feel like there's a little room
like
for entertainment there. Yeah, a little treat. A little peanut butter kiss.
How about if you go to the Odyssey app, if you want to, you can leave suggestions of what Ryan Wiggins' voice message should sound like.
Yeah, click the microphone.
I don't know how to do that. I know that it can be done.
And maybe I'll just use it straight out of the Odyssey app.
Explain people how to do this newfound fun feature.
You listen to the show, the station, on the Odyssey app. Mm-hmm. And then in the bottom corner, there's a microphone. And you click on the microphone, and it just starts recording you, and you leave a message. That's it. And then we get it. And I was just listening to them right before I came in the studio.
We have some?
Yeah.
Okay. I have the app. I'm logging in. I'm going to check it out.
Okay.
All right. Let's take a quick break. More on the YouTube poll when we come back. Are you watching the DNC convention? Yes. No, but interested in the highlights? Or no, you're not interested at all? We've got a lot of votes coming in. We need yours. It's pretty close between two of these options. You might be the deciding vote. If you come vote at the Andy Fry YouTube channel right now, we'll be right back.
The word that everybody is using to describe tonight is bittersweet. It's just bitter. The fact of the matter, I'm not saying Joe Biden is bitter, but, you know, it's like you've been thrown out a window, and as you're falling, you go, gee, it's nice out here. No, he got thrown out of a window, and basically he was forced. You know, there's going to be a lot of talk tonight about how generous it was of him and selfless of him. He was basically forced out by Nancy Pelosi and Barack Obama and Chuck Schumer and Hakeem Jeffries. And I suspect even the fact that there has been this surge of enthusiasm since he left and Kamala Harris took his place, that's got to be pretty tough, too. You got thrown out of a window and everybody's applauding the person who's now in the room.
It's supposed to be a love fest. The Democrats are supposed to be all coming together and they are supposed to just be like joyful that they're now like they kept talking about there being like this pressure release and everything, and it was weird. And then they're talking about how like everything now is looking forward. We won't go back is their way of saying not to back to Donald Trump. I mean, honestly, if you go back to Kamala Harris is the past also.
Yeah.
You can't undo that. But at the same time, this idea that everything is joyful looking forward is completely and totally dismissive of Joe Biden and what he has done up until here.
I mean,
Scott
he was bullied
Janice.
Out of this race after 52 years of service to the Democratic Party. And it wasn't all about his age. He was unpopular. He was going to lose. It was Afghanistan. It was inflation. It was immigration. And now... and he had to be dragged out by the fingernails. I'm sorry. This is not so. He's not here in a happy moment. OK,
we'll
I know
see.
That
we'll
this
see.
This yarn that's being spun in this hall that he was popular and selfless and handing on. No. It is the opposite. And everybody knows it. And yet the Democrats are engaging in this theater of looking into cameras and saying it. So it's not true. I'm interested to see how they handle it tonight, but also moving forward, because what the Republicans will do is say, look, this was Joe Biden's loyal lieutenant. the last person in the room on Afghanistan, helped him on immigration, which you hate. Now all of a sudden proposing to do something about inflation when she hasn't for 3.5 years. She will be stuck to him for the election, and will the voters buy that she had nothing to do with any of it?
This is just like Scott Jennings' moment in the sun. He is having such a great time at CNN reacting to this. People are becoming much more familiar with him. I know he's a regular guest on Mark Reardon's show as well. So he's familiar with our station for sure. But he's absolutely correct, along with Chris Wallace, who we played there beforehand, that Joe Biden is not some selfless individual who saw that there was an opportunity in front of him and it was going to require a sacrifice on his part. But the opportunity presented itself and he wanted to do the right thing. They took him kicking and screaming. Listen to Nancy Pelosi.
I have to do
right.
He made the decision for the country. My concern was not about the president, was about his campaign.
So I just have to say that Nancy Pelosi is basking in the respect that people are giving her, suggesting that she could single-handedly make this come to pass. She is towing the line. It looks almost sloppy how much she's choosing her words carefully about the discussions that were had between Nancy Pelosi and Joe Biden, between the Pelosis and the Bidens, and that, you know, she loves him. And she continues to say, like she said in this one, that Nancy Pelosi had to do what she had to do. She says things like that, and then she corrects herself real quick and says, Joe Biden made the choice. But she never, ever doesn't first say, I had to do what I had to do. She loves this. She's soaking it up. Nancy Pelosi is high on the hog right now over having all of this power as an emerita member of the speaker, whatever, of the House of Representatives. She still gets to be politically all powerful behind the scenes. So powerful, she wants everybody to know that she really does pick who the nominee is going to be and who it's not going to be. And in a republic democracy, if you have that kind of power, I wonder if you even have a republic.
That's a very good question. Nancy Pelosi, you're right, has been so specific with what she's saying that it's almost as if she's losing control of the narrative by trying to contain the narrative, because everybody knows what happened. And for her to come out and say anything other than what everybody already knows makes her look like a liar.
Do you remember what she was saying before Joe Biden dropped out, in that space in between the debate and him actually dropping out? People were all like, is he going to drop out? Is he going to drop out? And Joe Biden was like, I'm not dropping out. I'm in this to win this. And then they would ask Nancy Pelosi, and she's like, well, he has to make that decision, and I'm sure he'll make the correct decision. That was her line every time.
I say the same thing about my children when they think that they're going to play video games or go out with their friends, but they haven't cleaned their room yet. That's exactly what you say. You know, they will make the they have the opportunity to make the right decision here.
Yeah.
There's only one right decision, and it's a power play to say it that way.
Yep. And it's so funny to see him up there playing along with the charade, because he didn't want to leave. He did not want to leave. But he knew, and Jill knew probably more than anybody, that if I don't, the rest of my life, we're going to lose the election, and the rest of my life, I will be like spat upon by Democrats. And I don't want that to happen. I want to be cool still. I want to be in the club. So I got to do this. And then I'll just say that I was doing it for America and there was no pressure. This was my decision.
The whole speech was him saying how awesome of a job he was doing. I was doing a great job for America. But then I thought I should drop out. I'm still fine now. Last night I watched that, and there was just maybe like 2% of me that was like, I kind of want to see him just lose it and go, you know what? I was forced out, and just to see what would have happened in that spectacle. Like, do they usher him off stage? Does he finish? Does everybody sit there in horror? It didn't happen, which is unfortunate because I think that would have been really entertaining. But that was, you know, kind of one of the things I was hoping would happen.
What's that? She's old.
Yeah, how old is she?
She's an old bat.
81?
Maybe older. My guess is 82.
84.
Ah! Yay, yay! Inflation.
Yeah, last you checked, she was 82.
She was.
It was a couple years ago.
She's still 82. Yeah. Just add 2 plus 2. We're talking about math. She's old. She's not going to be around to do this forever. What happens when the Nancy Pelosi's are gone? Joe Biden is about gone. I don't feel like Joe Biden ever had his hands firmly on 10 and 2 of the Democrat Party. He was always in the passenger car, you know, maybe in the back seat going, can I sit in the front? Can I sit in the front? Can I sit in the front?
Yeah.
And finally you're like, sit in the front.
I don't even think he ever sat in the front.
I think he was
in the back.
He got to be the president.
He was in the car seat.
Well,
with the
he got to be
but
the president.
Not, but he was not driving.
He was in the presidential limo in the back. He wasn't driving. But you're right about Nancy Pelosi. Like, this generation of people who are clearly dictating things behind the scenes, they're going to. This is about it for them, except for Barack Obama. He'll be around for a long time.
We are 10 years away from an incredibly different layout, and the direction that the Democrat Party is going is dramatically to the progressive left.
Mm. Oh my gosh, yes.
I mean, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez with the primetime speaking, preaching. There is a clip that is out there. It's probably the clip that most people have seen or consumed, where at the end, she like goes around and looks at the camera, and I had to avert my eyes. I'm like laying in bed trying to read this. And she's throwing the right arm up and the left arm up and then the both arms up, and she's just delivering the goods to the people. And then she looks at the eyes and I'm like, or looks at the camera and I'm like, whoa! Yeah! And I had to move. And then there's the state legislator from Michigan who has long red hair. What is the tongue thing? It's all I could see.
Wait, explain this, because I watched
lizard,
this.
Lizard, I said it.
Was she going like that?
Have you seen a lizard?
I have.
A lizard.
Yeah, we call them skinks.
Lizard.
Yeah.
She is giving her speech, and I don't know that she's the one who is like, we need to elect Kamala Harris because Donald Trump is going to weaponize the Justice Department against his opponents. And you're like, and I was like, what are you doing with your tongue, though? Why is it coming out so much? And like, all the way. I think she caught a fly.
I did not notice that. So
I
was watching and listening, and I got to tell you a little behind the scenes here. I was doing some X's and O's questions. And
better not be about that lady's tongue.
It won't be about that lady's tongue. But the quote that came from her had to have been one of the best of the whole night, about how only dictators weaponize the Department of Justice against their political opponents. You're going, this had to make it through screening. How did this get to primetime?
They know what they're doing.
They believe it.
I don't think they do.
You don't think they think that they're actually defending democracy?
They? The people up here?
The people up top.
No, they don't believe that at all.
They know they're selling
you.
The
people mid-level and down are buying what they're selling.
They think you're stupid.
It's incredible that the guy who's currently being prosecuted and persecuted by the Department of Justice is the guy who they say is the biggest threat to democracy.
Yeah, they know all that,
because
Ryan.
He'll use
they know
the
all
Department
that.
Of Justice.
They know all that. You know why they say it? To piss people like you and me off. To get us
it
on
works.
A Well, it does if you let it. But they're trying to get under your skin, to get you distracted about talking about that, and not the fact that if I go back to the X profile, let me read to you what Chad Wolf, who is the former Department of Homeland Security Acting Secretary, Executive Director, Chief Strategy Officer, and Chairman of Homeland Security, and he's with A1 Policy. This he bullet points what the Kamala Harris border policy and immigration policy is. Number one, provides a pathway to citizenship for more than 15 million illegal aliens, including aliens who were previously deported during the Trump administration. Number two, requires taxpayers to pay for previously deported illegal aliens to be brought back to the United States.
Oh my gosh.
Number three, excludes the ability to remove aliens with felony records. Number four, eliminates penalties such as a 10-year reentry bar for illegal aliens living in the United States. Number five, this is the Kamala Harris immigration border plan. Number five, severely limits the president's ability to restrict individuals coming into the United States from areas of the world who are, quote, not in the national interest, end quote, putting the interest of illegal aliens over our national security. Number six, requires the issuance of a social security number to all illegal aliens, making it easier to obtain a driver's license and voter's registration. Number 7, facilitates an increase in non-merit-based legal immigration, such as the diversity visa lotteries and family-based caps. Number 8, eliminates the word alien from the Immigration and Nationality Act and replaces it with non-citizen. Number 9, waives the English language requirement for nationalization for immigrants in certain cases. Number 10, eliminates the one-year filing deadline for asylum, ensuring illegal aliens can file for asylum after living in the United States for years. And number 11, provides taxpayer-funded attorneys to illegal alien parents and children. And he cites the Democrats.org website for all of this information that he's pulled out there, congress.gov as well, in a bill that they've put, that they're centering this on. These are all things that, should you elect Kamala Harris, these are the priorities. This is when she says she's going to go take care of immigration and the border. This is what she's going to do. It's outrageous.
I'm not going to be able to remember all of those.
I retweeted it. It's from Chad Wolf.
Thank you. Was it number 2 that said she's going to bring back those deported already? I mean,
requires taxpayers to pay for previously deported illegal aliens to be brought back to the United States.
That's incredible. If you're running for office and trying to pretend that you've gone to the middle and the record that you've had in the last 4 years doesn't matter, here's what I'm going to do. You don't say that stuff, but that is there. That is part of her platform. That's incredible.
Should we listen to Timothy's voice message for you on your phone?
I don't know. Should we?
I don't know.
We're sorry. Mr. Ryan Wiggins is not available right now. Please leave a message. Well, you know.
Thank you. Thank you. I wouldn't be surprised if I end up using that.
Sober has one, a suggestion as okay. well from...
Why are you calling me? I'm just Ryan Wiggins.
I am using that. I'm going to have to talk to legal about the blurred lines between using it on my personal voicemail or not. But yeah, I think we got a winner there.
Are we sure we want to tell people about this feature?
It's pretty fun.
Our boss is like, you got to use it. You got to promote it. People want to call in. Thanks, Sober. That's his name. Thanks, Sober.
I'm glad you're sober.
We got Sober to call in and answer that. And Dalton called in to answer about today's poll about watching the DNC convention.
I attempted to watch the DNC last night, but as soon as Hillary Clinton came on, I had to turn it off. As far as the quote of the day, or question of the day, the vote of the day, at this point, I really don't care what the DNC has to say, because all of their policies are either an extension of Biden or stolen from Trump.
And you know that they're extension from Biden because they forgot to take Biden's name out of their platform 19 times.
That is so stupid.
Oops. Let's take a quick break. Hernan says, I'm watching some of it, but not because I enjoy it, but to learn what the other half of the electorate think. It is important for me to understand their points of view. Julia says, no, if I do start yelling at my TV and my sweet husband suggests I watch something else. Aw, Julia, you have a good husband. Let's take a quick break. We'll get the results to today's poll. You got to go vote. You watching the DNC convention? Let us know. YouTube live chat poll, Andy Fry YouTube channel. We'll be right back. What was that tease that you just gave the people?
It was about you stanking.
I don't stink. I smell wonderful.
Is it because of your deodorant?
Do I smell bad?
I have a terrible sense of smell. I'm the wrong person to ask. I've had 2 sinus surgeries.
Brad just left.
So we know his answer.
I can't even ask him. He's avoiding the question so that he doesn't have to answer. I understand.
Let's bring Abby in here. Let's ask a couple other people
just
around the office.
Let some people come smell me.
Because here's the thing. I got to work with you really closely every day.
What were we talking about? Because I was dealing with some technical stuff.
How bad she smells.
Yeah. Oh.
Or how bad she doesn't.
Do I smell bad?
No, you don't smell bad. Did Ryan say you smell bad?
Yeah, he just did.
We have to work with Annie every day.
Ryan.
We need an anonymous person to let us really know.
You know, that's all you're doing is saying I smell bad.
No. I just want to know because, like I said, I can't tell.
If you can't tell if I smell bad, then I don't smell bad.
No, you could reek, but I can't smell very well. And that's on me.
So you smell bad.
I have a bad sense of smell.
You have a bad sense of something.
Yeah. I smell bad.
This all started because I have a brand new stick of deodorant here. It is Dove, and it's not a different kind of deodorant. I am not paid to talk to you about Dove deodorant, but I don't know what to do. It's brand new, and I go to spin it up. It doesn't go up. What do I do? Mm-hmm. It's useless.
Yep, it's just that age. Can't get up. Sorry. Gone.
Couldn't you wait 5 minutes?
No.
Couldn't you just hold on to that
just,
one for
It's just
five
like
minutes.
Politics. When you get the opportunity, you got to strike. When the president looks like he's incapacitated mentally, you got to just go in. I didn't get any votes. I got to go in.
How do I do? What do I do with my deodorant?
I don't think you do anything. I think you just got to let it be. Take it out to the farm, put a bullet in it. I think you wasted $6, though.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
Can I take this back to, I don't even know where I got it from. I have four kids in my house. We're playing sports every day in various locations. I put deodorant in every car location, work. You go to my desk in there. I've got deodorant in my desk. We're not going to be stinky. But I feel like this probably did cost $5-6, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure it did.
So can I go back to Walmart or wherever and be like, this doesn't work? And I can only imagine what that woman or man behind the desk is going to look at me like, seems like you've got a problem.
Yes, but the problem is not what happens once you get to Walmart and you talk to the clerk. It's that you have to take time out of your day to go back to Walmart.
To save $6?
To save $6 on something that you just bought because you just need it to go, get it done, you got to get it done, and now it doesn't work. That stuff drives me nuts.
Are there other ways to infiltrate this thing? Because you can't get to it, when you spin the bottom, this is all one piece. So it's not like I can...
Well, let me Google Universal Dove cartridge.
How about Unilever? Because that's what the brand is.
Unilever.
Dove Advanced Care Lavender Fresh smells delicious, wonderful, fresh. Can't use it. Are you when something like this happens to you, the value of the thing is under $10. Mm-hmm. Are you?
I will, on that, I probably would have taken the spinny part off and seen if I could push it up. And at that point, if I can't, then I just throw it away and get a new one.
Doesn't it make you grouchy, though, for a while?
Oh, yeah. It makes me not happy for quite a while. How many milliliters is that?
It's not. It's 2.6 ounces, 74 grams.
2.6 ounces.
Antiperspirant deodorant.
So they do make empty cartridges for
so
deodorant.
Like a transplant?
So you and look at this. 78 cents, I'm seeing one here. So you could salvage this thing.
I could.
It's a little work.
I just want to go into somebody who's going to go, oh, yeah, I'll go get one off the shelf. We'll swap that out for you. Because that could totally happen also.
What you really want is you want somebody to go, I am so sorry that this has happened to you.
I want compassion.
Heck yeah, you do.
I am certain you will get that at a Walmart, a CVS.
You know what
maybe
I should do?
Not compassion.
I should go, but I shouldn't shower for 2 weeks before I go. And then just hand it to him.
Yeah. Or just...
Can you help me,
just
sir?
Just take a vinegar bath and then go in there and be like, look, I need some help. And they'll just do whatever you want.
Speaking of taking a vinegar bath, are you watching the DNC convention, the Annie Fry YouTube live chat poll for today with over 300 votes? 18% of you wonderful people said, yes, I am watching it. 39% say no, but you are interested in the highlights, and 43% of you say no, you're not interested. So over 50% are some level of interested.
It's a nice split.
We will walk you through. We will do that for you. And I will go get more deodorant so I am not without.
That's just for us.
I make that promise. I don't smell bad anyway.
Well, you might.
I don't, though. I don't. Mark Reardon, up next. YouTube live chat poll, Annie Fry YouTube channel. We'll be right back. Tease that you just gave the people?
It was about you stinking.
I don't stink. I smell wonderful.
Is it because of your deodorant?
Do I smell bad?
I have a terrible sense of smell. I'm the wrong person to ask. I've had two sinus surgeries.
Brad just left.
So we know his answer.
I can't even ask him. He's avoiding the question so that he doesn't have to answer. I understand.
Let's bring Abby in here. Let's ask a couple other people around the office.
Let some people come smell me.
Because here's the thing. I got to work with you really closely every day.
Whoa. What were we talking about? Because I was dealing with some technical stuff.
Uh-huh.
How bad she smells.
Yeah. Oh.
Or how bad she doesn't.
Do I smell bad?
No, you don't smell bad. Did Ryan say you smell bad?
Yeah, he just
did. We have to work with Annie every day.
Ryan.
We need an anonymous person to let us really know.
You know, that's all you're doing is saying I smell bad.
No. I just want to know because, like I said, I can't tell.
If you can't tell if I smell bad, then I don't smell bad.
No, you could reek, but I can't smell very well. And that's on me.
So you smell bad.
I have a bad sense of smell.
You have a bad sense of something.
Yeah. I smell bad.
This all started because I have a brand new stick of deodorant here. It is Dove, and it's not a different kind of deodorant. I am not paid to talk to you about Dove deodorant, but I don't know what to do. It's brand new, and I go to spin it up. It doesn't go up. What do I do? Mm-hmm. It's useless.
Yep, it's just that age. Can't get up. Sorry. Gone.
Couldn't you wait 5 minutes?
I know.
Couldn't you just hold on to that one
just,
for
It's just
five
like
minutes.
Politics. When you get the opportunity, you got to strike. When the president looks like he's incapacitated mentally, you got to just go in. I didn't get any votes. I got to go in.
How do I do? What do I do with my deodorant?
I don't think you do anything. I think you just got to let it be. Take it out to the farm, put a bullet in it. I think you wasted $6, though.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
Can I take this back to, I don't even know where I got it from. I have four kids in my house. We're playing sports every day in various locations. I put deodorant in every car location, work. You go into my desk in there. I've got deodorant in my desk. We're not going to be stinky. But I feel like this probably did cost $5-6, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure it did.
So can I go back to Walmart or wherever and be like, this doesn't work? And I can only imagine what that woman or man behind the desk is going to look at me like, seems like you've got a problem.
Yes, but the problem is not what happens once you get to Walmart and you talk to the clerk. It's that you have to take time out of your day to go back to Walmart.
To save $6?
To save $6 on something that you just bought because you just need it to go, get it done, you got to get it done, and now it doesn't work. That stuff drives me nuts.
Are there other ways to infiltrate this thing? Because you can't get to it, when you spin the bottom, this is all one piece. So it's not like I can...
Well, let me Google Universal Dove cartridge.
How about Unilever? Because that's what the brand is.
Unilever.
Dove Advanced Care Lavender Fresh smells delicious, wonderful, fresh. Can't use it. Are you when something like this happens to you, the value of the thing is under $10. Mm-hmm. Are you?
I will, on that, I probably would have taken the spinny part off and seen if I could push it up. And at that point, if I can't, then I just throw it away and get a new one.
Doesn't it make you grouchy, though, for a while?
Oh, yeah. It makes me not happy for quite a while. How many milliliters is that?
It's not. It's 2.6 ounces, 74 grams.
2.6 ounces.
Antiperspirant deodorant.
So they do make empty cartridges for
so
deodorant.
Like a transplant?
So you and look at this. 78 cents. I'm seeing one here. So you could salvage this thing.
I could.
It's a little work.
I just want to go into somebody who's going to go, oh yeah, I'll go get one off the shelf. We'll swap that out for you because that could totally happen. Also,
What you really want is you want somebody to go, I am so sorry that this has happened to you.
I want compassion.
Heck yeah, you do.
I am certain you will get that at a Walmart, a CVS.
You know what
maybe
I should
do? Not compassion.
I should go, but I shouldn't shower for 2 weeks before I go. And then just hand it to him.
Yeah. Or just...
Can you help me,
just
sir?
Just take a vinegar bath and then go in there and be like, look, I need some help. And they'll just do whatever you want.
Speaking of taking a vinegar bath, are you watching the DNC convention, the Annie Fry YouTube live chat poll for today with over 300 votes? 18% of you wonderful people said, yes, I am watching it. 39% say no, but you are interested in the highlights, and 43% of you say no, you're not interested. So over 50% are some level of interested.
It's a nice split.
We will walk you through. We will do that for you. And I will go get more deodorant so I am not without.
That's just for us.
I make that promise. I don't smell bad anyway.
Well, you might.
I don't, though. I don't. Mark Reardon, up next.